The following audio is from the weekly message at Summit Church in the upstate of South Carolina. More information is available at summitupstate.org.
Mark chapter 4, if you have a Bible, we'd love for you to join me there. Mark chapter 4, as always, really, really thankful to open up God's Word with you this morning. Just curious, how many of you are on Twitter? Raise your hand. Okay, not many of you, which is really good. There was a pretty lengthy debate this week about how long sermons should be. Anyone curious? Like, can you guess what the consensus was on how long they should be? 15 minutes. Is that what you want, Kevin? There was actually no consensus on how long they should be. We'll just leave it at that. You know, one of the things I really appreciate about the ministry of Summit is the plurality of voices that communicate God's Word week in and week out. Summit began 15 years ago with a conviction that our ministry would never be built upon the personality of one individual. And what we believe as a leadership team here at Summit, rising from Scripture, is that God has given a gift of leadership to the church, and that gift of leadership is plural, it is diverse, it is interdependent, it is in submission to one another, all of which is underneath the authority of Christ, who is the head of the body. And you know, there's a lot of different ways that interdependent leadership at Summit gets played out, and one of the most visible ways that gift is put on display is through our teaching ministry. If you were to go back to the offices in one of the counseling rooms that we have a pretty large whiteboard, and we have mapped out our three-month teaching schedule. So if you were to look at our three-month teaching schedule, what you would find is we're rotating about 12 different communicators across four congregations every 3 months. And that's pretty unique. Some of the men who are on that team are elders. Some are fulfilling the role of pastor who have the qualifications of eldership and are in pursuit and hopefully will one day become elders here at Summit. Some are deacons, some who are leading life groups who have the gift of teaching. So it's different voices, different personalities, different gift sets, different functions, all in submission to one another, ministering God's word for the good of God's people. And we really do believe that it's good that you do not hear from me every single week. Don't say amen right there. I think that's a really good thing. We also think it's really good that I am sitting underneath the proclamation of God's Word just like everyone else at Summit. That's one of the reasons why we have a plurality of verses, is because we all sit underneath the authority and the proclamation of His Word. And so one of the ways that we seek to equip this team of communicators is each Tuesday we gather together and we study God's Word together as a team. Every Tuesday morning, we spend time praying God's Word together. So we read the text, we talk through the big idea of the text, we share how the Spirit is leading us maybe to apply the text. We talk practically about what we sense the people of Summit might need to hear within this cultural moment as we think about the text. And then we pray. We collectively pray that God would do far above and beyond what we can think and imagine when we come together and hear His Word. It's a rich, it's a sweet, and it's an incredibly beneficial time. And 2 weeks ago, we were over here in the offices Tuesday morning, and we were reading through Mark chapter 4, verses 1 through 20, the text that we're in today. And there was a question that was posed around the table that we spent quite a bit of time thinking about and processing, and it's a question that I want to put before you today. Why do people respond differently to Jesus? Why? Why is it that in a crowd of people all hearing the same truth about Jesus, Some respond, no thanks. Some respond, well, that's absurd. And others respond, I'll give my life to that. Like, even in this room this morning, we're all hearing, we're all reading the same truth. But not all of us are going to respond to the spoken truth and the proclaimed truth through His Word in the same way. Some of us, perhaps this morning, it might be, take it or leave it. Some of us, perhaps this morning, we will be overcome by the weightiness of this coming week, that even before lunch is over, we might even forget what we've talked about today. And there'll be others in this room that will methodically and patiently meditate over the truth of Mark 4 this week with great expectation. Why is that? Why do some hear and submit? Why do some hear and ignore? Why do some hear and walk away? Why do people respond differently to Jesus? Well, let's look at our text this morning, because I believe Mark chapter 4 is going to bring that question into view for us. Mark chapter 4, this is God's word to us. Again, he began to teach beside the sea, and a very large crowd gathered about him. If you were with us last week in Mark chapter 3, you know that the significance of those who were gathered about him, around him, is pretty significant. They're gathered, a large crowd gathered about him, so he got into a boat, and he sat in it on the sea, and the whole crowd was beside the sea on the land. And he was teaching them in many things in parables, and in his teaching he said to them, listen, behold, a sower went out to sow, and as he sowed, some seed fell along the path, and birds came and devoured it. Other seed fell on rocky ground where it did not have much soil, and immediately sprang up, since it had no depth of soil. And when the sun rose, it was scorched, and since it had no root, it was withered away. Other seed fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no grain. And other seeds fell into good soil and produced grain, growing up and increasing and yielding 30-fold, 60-fold, and 100-fold. And he said to them, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. As we've been tracing the ministry of Jesus from Mark's point of view, we've seen the crowds, right, increasingly grow, just continuing to grow. Curiosity has increased. The questions have increased. Opposition has increased. Even commitment amongst a particular group of people has increased. And you have all these people within the crowds with so many different expectations, so many different responses. And in the midst of all of that, Jesus is going to have the crowds sit down. He's going to get on a boat. He's going to push away from the shore, and he's going to tell several stories. Jesus, Mark chapter 4, is going to teach. It's pretty unique in Mark's gospel. There's only two instances where we see Jesus teaching. And this is the longest of the two. And Mark tells us that Jesus is teaching in parables. What are parables? I remember the very first definition, or at least it's the definition that I remember was the first one that was taught to me about parables. Parables is an earthly story with, you know, can you finish it? A heavenly meaning, right? An earthly story with a heavenly meaning. And that is indeed true, but it's far from actually encapsulating all that parables are. The word parable, the literal meaning of parable is to throw something, to put something alongside something else. So let's say this morning I'm trying to make a point, and I tell you the point, I state the point, and then I give you like three or four bullet points to try to give explanation to the point. Got it? Understand it? Or now let's do this. Let's say I make a point, but I throw alongside that point a story. I give you a story that if you get the story, you're going to get the point of what I'm trying to make. That, in essence, is a parable. But what's interesting about Mark chapter 4 is Jesus doesn't begin by going, here's my point. He's already made a point in previous chapters from Mark's point of view. Jesus is just going to begin by telling a story. And his audience, his hearers, are going to have to figure it out. So he gets in a boat. Now, go with me here for a moment. Imagine for a moment you are along the seaside, sitting down. Jesus is pushed away in a boat. Imagine you're there. Okay? Imagine for a moment you are there. You have heard from so-and-so and from so-and-so about his teaching in the synagogue. You've heard about him cleansing the leper. You've heard about him casting out demons. You've heard him healing the man with a withered hand. Maybe you've even seen one of his miracles. Maybe you were that up close and personal. Maybe you're in the crowd because your family drug you to that place. All you want to do is go get something to eat. You're just along for the company. You don't even really want to be there. Or maybe you were there when he taught and something happened. And you're compelled and you're eager. Jesus is getting in the boat. He's pushing away. He's going to say something. And you're on the edge of your seat. And he tells us in the story, Jesus sits down. And this is what he says. Hey guys, I've got a story I want to tell you. A farmer came to this incredible field, and he threw some seed on the ground. Some of that seed landed on the road, and the birds ate it. Some of that seed landed on the rocks, and it started to grow, but the sun scorched it, and it died. Some of that seed fell on thorns, and the thorns choked the life out of it. Some of that seed landed on good soil, and it produced an incredible crop. You should listen to this story. All right, guys, let's go. Now, he didn't actually just stop with that story. He's actually going to continue to teach many, many stories. But Mark pauses, he interjects right here, because what Jesus has just said, what we're going to later find out, if all of those in the crowd don't get this story, they're going to miss everything else Jesus says. So he pauses and he interjects. Look at verse 10. And when Jesus was alone, those around him with the 12 ask him about the parables. Mark is giving us a picture of what is happening after Jesus has finished speaking to the crowds. Now, if you're there that day, and maybe you've seen Jesus, maybe you've heard Jesus, and you're there that day, and Jesus gives that story, and you're thinking to yourself, what in the world does that mean? And Mark gives us a glimpse, after Jesus teaches all of these stories, Mark gives us a glimpse that Jesus is alone, and yet people are gathered around him. That's interesting to me, right? Jesus is alone, and there seems to be two groups of people that are with him. There's a group that's gathered with him along with the 12. Hey, Jesus, that story that you just shared, the farmer, the seed, what's that about? We don't quite understand what you're saying. But they're wanting to understand. Hey, Jesus, would you help us understand? Look at verse 11. And he said to them, to you has been given the secret of the kingdom of God. But for those outside, everything is in parables. So here we see Jesus kind of going, okay, well, there's two groups of people now. You and outsiders. Jesus is going, there's insiders and there's outsiders. And those who are insiders, they receive the secret of the kingdom. And those on the outside, you know what they receive? Parables. And here's why they receive parables. Jesus, or at least from Mark's point of view, Jesus is going to quote Isaiah 6 as a fulfillment of prophecy, verse 12. The reason they receive parables is so that they may indeed see but not perceive, and may indeed hear but not understand, lest they should turn and be forgiven. Outsiders see, but they don't perceive. They hear, but they don't understand. Because if they did truly see and they did truly hear, they would understand. They would repent of their sins. They would believe and have forgiveness. But they don't. They don't perceive. They don't understand. So there's two kinds of people. Be sure you understand what Jesus is saying. There's two kinds of people. Those who understand the secret of the kingdom and those who don't. But wait a minute, Terry, are you telling me that it's our ability to understand that makes us in or out? No. Because the very people who are currently with Jesus do not understand. So you have everyone at this point, all of those that heard Jesus and walked away, all of those who heard Jesus and came near to him, they don't get it. So what's the point then? Insiders get the secret, outsiders don't get the secret. Then what sets insiders apart from outsiders? Their response to Jesus. Jesus speaks, both groups hear, one group moves towards him, one group moves away. Their response. He says, the you group gathers around Jesus and says, I don't get it. I don't understand. But I want to understand. Will you help me understand? And Jesus looks at them and says, you get it. You. Yes, you get it. One group presses into Jesus. One group moves on. Both groups get what they want. This parable is exposing the heart. Like, what do they want? Jesus is getting at the heart of that in this story. And he looks at those who've gathered around him and he says, man, you get the secret of the kingdom, and you get the secret of the kingdom because you want to know it, and I'm going to explain it to you. You go, well, what is this secret stuff about? What is the secret of the kingdom? Well, I believe Jesus has already given the secret of the kingdom back in Mark chapter 1. Listen to these words. Mark 14:1-14. Jesus came into Galilee proclaiming the gospel of God and saying, the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel. The kingdom of God is breaking in. I am here. I am ushering in a new way. I am ushering in a new humanity. The kingdom of God is here, and it slowly but surely is taking over the world. And there's coming a day that the harvest is going to come. And those who have received me will have the warmth of my embrace, and others who do not receive me will be swept away. If you have ears to hear, let them hear. The secret of the kingdom is given to those who have embraced Jesus as the Son of God, who've received his gospel, repented of their sins, and believe in him. The secret of the kingdom is given to those who respond to Jesus as if Jesus' words are true and significant. You want to know? You want to know what Jesus is like? You want to understand his way? You want a greater understanding of who you are and what it means to follow him? Jesus says, I'll show you. I'm actually going to explain the point of the story that I've just articulated, because everything hinges on your understanding of what I just said. So thus far, before we read the rest of the story, I want you to see who gets the secret. Who are the you? Who are the insiders? Those who have responded to the words of Jesus. I know it's simple, but it's incredibly profound. Look at verse 13. And he said to them, do you not understand this parable? How then will you understand all the parables? So obviously we see the significance of understanding, their understanding of everything that he's just said. And so he's going to explain it. The sower sows the word. And these are the ones along the path where the word is sown. When they hear, Satan immediately comes and takes away the word that is sown in them. And these are the ones sown on rocky ground, the ones who, when they hear the word, immediately receive it with joy. And they have no root in themselves, but endure for a little while. Then when tribulation or persecution arises on account of the word, immediately they fall away. And others are the ones sown among thorns. They are those who hear the word, but the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches and the desires for other things enter in and choke the word, and it proves unfruitful. But those that were sown on the good soil are the ones who hear the word and accept it and bear fruit 30-fold, 60-fold, and 100-fold. So he says the sower sows the seed. And we see that the sower's casting the seed everywhere. He sows the seed indiscriminately. And what we discover is that the sower is Jesus, the seed is the truth of God's word, and the soil represents the heart. The soil represents the response to Jesus, the response to his word. And in this iteration, as he goes through these four soils, ultimately what he's showing us is that there's two responses to the truth of God's word. We either reject it or we receive it. And you go, well, I thought there's four soils. Yeah, there's four soils, but there's three ways to reject him. There's one way to receive him. Let's look at it real briefly. Verse 15, he shows us what immediate rejection looks like. Immediate rejection. Again, the sower's Jesus, the seed that he is planting. He's the one doing the planting. He sows it everywhere. He sows it indiscriminately, and it lands on the path, but it never actually lands. Because it's hard. It never gets beneath the surface because it's hard. It never pierces the heart because it's hard. Or maybe it does penetrate the heart, but it penetrates the heart in a way that opposes the will. So rejection of Jesus is inevitable because it's not what the heart wants. There's a kingdom that is opposed to the kingdom that Jesus is ushering in, and Satan's voice is really loud, Jesus says. So when the truths of Jesus are proclaimed, Satan's voice comes in and speaks his lies. And it deceives, it blinds. Why? Because the heart's hard. The heart is self-absorbed. It's self-absorbed with life. It's self-absorbed with pursuits and ambition. It's self-absorbed with sin. And the truth of God does not get beneath the surface. If you're here this morning and by chance the Spirit of God through the Word of God this morning is maybe just reminding you or speaking to you, bringing clarity to you, that this might be your heart, just continually pushing away, suppressing, resisting, you go, well, is there any hope for me? You bet there is. And what I could invite you into this morning, if you're in a place where you go, my heart is not receptive, it's not soft, here's what I would invite you in this moment to pray. Jesus, would you soften my heart? Jesus, would you soften my heart? Immediate rejection, then he gives us eventual rejection. And he's going to show us that there's two ways to ultimately reject. The first comes from hardship and pain. He tells us that the word lands, but it's just for a season. And it's just for a season because difficulty and hardship comes, and it's in the hardship and difficulty where the lack of depth is revealed. So listen to this. Get the idea. The word was received, and then what happened? Life happened. Hardship happened. Lack of fulfilled expectations happened. And then the roots were revealed for what they are, shallow, no depth. It's like, Jesus, man, I want to follow you. I want to embrace your way, but the moment following you cost me something, I think I might be out.
And I've seen this. Man, I grew up in the church, almost 20 years of vocational ministry. I've seen it in so many teenagers that I've had the opportunity to disciple over the years. I've seen it in adults. I've seen the own propensity in my heart, my own heart. At one point, truth was received with joy, but it started to cost something. It started to cost time. It started to cost resources. It started to cost status and reputation, maybe accountability. And it was the cost that revealed the lack of substance. It was the circumstance that revealed what was there all along. And maybe, just maybe, as you sit in this gathered room this morning, the crowd, the Spirit is telling you, this is where you are. Maybe I'm pushing away from Jesus because of difficulty. I'm pushing away from Jesus because of circumstance and trial. And I would invite you in this moment, if the Spirit's speaking to you, to ask Jesus to meet you where you are, meet you in your pain. Ask Him to meet you in your circumstance. Ask Him to be real there. Invite Him into it. Tell Him how you really feel. Tell Him what's really going on. Invite Him into that space. Invite Him into that place. Because He wants to carry you through the circumstance. He wants to carry you through the pain. He wants to carry you through the storm. It's not just hardship and pain that brings eventual rejection. It's also comfort and pleasure. We see that in verses 18 and 19. The word also lands, but it too is just for a season. It's just for a season because pleasure and comfort, it becomes more alluring than the way of Jesus. And I think this one hits home. Life gets crowded, doesn't it? Life gets noisy, life becomes full and demanding, and we got family, and we got careers, we got deadlines, we got friendships, we got bills, we got health, and everything else. And it's like, Jesus, I want to follow you. I want to embrace your way, but life has become so full, so demanding. The cares of life, they are now so many, the desire for more. It just seems like it never ends. And there's a question in this particular section that just rises to the surface in my mind. And it's a question that I think is worthy of consideration. Can we follow Jesus and be content in Jesus when it seems like life is full and we have everything that we want? There's a reason why Jesus will often talk about the difficulty of the rich submitting and surrendering to the ways of Jesus. I wonder, is it not just in the moments of weakness where we see Jesus as beautiful, but it's in the moment when we think we've got everything that we need? Is He beautiful? And maybe you're here this morning, you go, you know what? Life is full. I'm actually doing pretty good. And the Spirit of God speaking to you right now. Here's what I would say to you. Here's what I would invite you to pray. Ask Jesus to be more beautiful than what has you distracted. Because here's the thing. He is. He is more beautiful. He is more powerful. He is more fulfilling. He is all of those things. But invite Him. Invite Him to lift maybe the veil. To meet you where you are distracted, where you have been allured into other things, that He would be most beautiful and most precious to you. And then we see in verse 20, He shifts from rejection. He shows us what receptivity looks like. Good soil. Let's read it, verse 20. But those that were sown on the good soil are the ones who hear the word, hear the word, accept it, and bear fruit. 30, 60, 100. This heart hears and accepts what Jesus says. This heart believes. This heart is open. This heart is receptive. It's hard to see in our English translation, but it's interesting here that the difference between those who hear in verses 15 and 19, and those who are hearing in verse 20. All other three soils that eventually or immediately reject, heard at a definitive moment in time. But those in verse 20, they are hearing. They are accepting, meaning they continue to hear. They continue to accept. And because they continue to accept, and because they continue to hear, they bear fruit. 30, 60, 100. They don't all bear the same amount of fruit, but they bear fruit. I've read this parable, man, so many times in my journey with the Lord. And I'll be honest with you, I used to look past the implications of the 30, 60, 100. But I think there's some profound implications of what Jesus is saying here. Receptive hearts that hear and accept the truths of God, he tells them, he tells us, will bear fruit. And the fruit we bear is not on our shoulders. Our fruitfulness is entirely in his control. And that's good news this morning because he produces it. So he's the good sower. He's the faithful sower. The seed that he plants is good. It's always producing. It is going to produce. And he's in control of what it becomes. If that is true, then he is incredibly patient. 30, 60, 100 is a reminder that this journey with Jesus is a process. Continually hearing, continually receiving, continually accepting. And as we do, he carries us along. He produces fruit in our lives. He matures, he grows, he does the work. I think it's also a reminder that none of us are actually in the same place, and we need to be reminded of that. We're all at different places in the journey, and just because we may be producing 10-fold, 20-fold, 30-fold doesn't make us any less fruitful than if it's 60, 90, or 100. So maybe you're here this morning, and you've been following Jesus for some time, and you would, if you're honest, you would go, man, I'm still struggling to even figure out how to read my Bible. Like, I've been following Jesus for a minute now, and I'm still struggling with consistency and discipline to pray. Like, the thought of even, like, sharing my faith is so foreign because I'm not even currently in a place where I'm consistently seeing the joy and the beauty and the fruit of reading the Word and sitting before His feet and hearing His voice. Here's what I think this parable is saying to you. Don't be weighed down by where you're not. Receive his word now. Receive it now. Hear it now. And you go, well, how long is it going to take before I actually get there? How long is it going to take before I continue and continue and continue to hear and accept, to hear and accept? Don't worry about how long. You just keep hearing and receiving. He will produce the fruit in your life. So here's what I want to do with this story. I want to try my best in the next few moments practically to help us see the life, the hope, and the profound implications of this story for you and me. Where does this story meet us, Summit Simpsonville 2022, right now, today, in this moment? And I'll do it by posing a couple questions of interpretation of this passage. First of all, is this story simply telling us that some people reject Jesus and some people don't reject Jesus? No. Jesus wants you and I to see that he is the one constant in the story. He's the one constant. He's the faithful sower, and the seed that he sows is good. It will bear fruit. And so for whoever receives his word, it will lodge itself deep in our hearts, and it will produce life. It'll produce exponential, unexplainable life. It'll change us. to the heart that receives and keeps on receiving, that accepts and keeps on accepting, it will change us. It will transform us. And as we receive it and keep receiving it, we will explode with life. The beauty and the power of this story is that life and vitality is the fruit of the one who accepts and receives the words of Jesus. It's a guarantee. So it should be more about hope of what can be rather than condemnation of where I'm not. He who has ears to hear, let them hear. And you go, man, will some people reject Jesus? Yep, some people are going to reject Jesus. But that has no bearing on the power of what he is producing in those who receive and accept his word. Jesus does not want any of us this morning to get to the end of this story and be filled with angst and fear about whether we are in or out. I don't think that's the point of this story at all. No, he wants us to be drawn to him with open and receptive hearts. And if we do indeed come to him, then here's what you should expect: life, vitality, freedom, transformation, exponential growth, and unexplainable flourishing. That's what you should expect. 30, 60, 100. Common return in this day and time, from a cultural standpoint, of the crops that were planted was 7 to 8%. Abundantly above was tenfold. And Jesus goes to the heart that hears my words and accepts them. You're going to bear fruit because I'm going to produce it 30-fold, 60-fold, 100-fold. What's he saying? I'm going to do far more abundantly above, beyond what you can think or ask if you accept my words. That's the promise of this story. So those of us in the room who have ears to hear, may you hear. Secondly, and finally, is this story expecting us to figure out which soil we currently are? And I think the answer to that question is no. They go, well, you just explained the soils. I did. I don't think that's the point of the story. Jesus is ushering in the kingdom of God, and he's telling all of these people. You realize there's so many people that Jesus has to get in a boat, push away from the shore to be able to talk to them. Like, mind-boggling, right? Massive amounts of people. And he's ushering in the kingdom, all the people flocking to Jesus. And he's telling them, this is who I am. This is why I've come. This is what I'm about. This is the life I bring. And the reason why Jesus in this moment is having this extended teaching is because he doesn't want to lose the significance of the moment with the people that are present. He wants this story to pierce their hearts. He doesn't want them to be fruit inspectors of everyone in the crowd. I wonder if so-and-so is rocky soil or thorny soil. I wonder if James and John, are they hard, are they cluttered, are they receptive? It's not the point. The story Jesus is telling in this moment is for the people to hear in this moment one thing. Jesus is speaking, so what am I going to do about that? Jesus is speaking. What am I going to do with it? The question you and I should consider this morning is this: am I receptive to Jesus? Right now. Not this past week. There's a place and time to consider. I'm not saying that. But the point of this passage isn't to go, well, this past week, this past season, this past year, you know what? I'm this soil. No, right now in this very moment, is your heart attentive and receptive to the words of Jesus? And if the answer is yes, then guess what is possible for you? 30, 60, 100-fold of life. Am I receptive to Jesus? This is not a parable, so you can think about all the people in your life group that you don't think are spiritual, that aren't getting it to the degree that you think they should get it. This is a parable for you and me. Am I receptive to Jesus? Am I open to Jesus? Am I receiving and accepting Jesus? Am I allowing His truth to lodge in my heart? So here's how I want to end our time. With what you've heard this morning, what's that internal dialogue going on right now in your mind and heart? What are you saying to yourself about what you're hearing? Maybe you hear the claims of Jesus, the story that Jesus is telling in this passage, and you go, Terry, man, that sounds nice, but I have got so many other things going on in my life. Life is so full, and I just don't know what to do. Maybe you hear this story and you go, you know what? That seems pretty irrelevant to where I'm at. This is just another form of religion. Or perhaps you hear this morning and something within you is drawn to Him. You don't understand all that Jesus is saying. That's okay. You don't understand all that it means to follow Jesus. That's okay. You don't understand all that it means to open up His Word and to hear from the Spirit of God, like on a Monday morning. And that's okay. Because if you want to, He'll teach you. Because if you want to, He'll lead you. If you want to know Him, He'll show you. That's the point of Mark chapter 4. Am I receptive to Jesus? What's that thing? What's that thing? Yes, I'm talking to you. What's the thing the Spirit's put on your mind and heart? That thing, that one thing, that singular thing today, what are you going to do with it? I'm going to invite the team to come back up, and we're going to do something incredibly profound on a day like today in this particular passage. Is we're going to partake of the Lord's Supper and have an opportunity to continue processing this question as we behold the implications of who Jesus is and what Jesus has accomplished for us. I don't want the opportunity of our corporate gathering to be missed on us today. God help us. Like, I get it. You got stuff to do today. You're hungry. But God help us that we get so easily distracted that the giver of life is speaking. And maybe right in this moment, Satan's coming and he's trying to snatch that beautiful truth, that powerful truth away. And I just want to invite you to lean in and go, Satan, you have no place here. You have no place in here corporately. You have no place in my heart. I am going to surrender and submit. I'm going to take the next step. I'm going to confess if I need to confess. I'm going to repent if I need to repent. I'm going to go to that person if that's what you are putting on my heart this morning. I'm going to take the next step. I believe Jesus is speaking right now through His Word by His Spirit. What are we? What are you, what am I going to do about that? I'm going to pray, and our team's going to lead us in another song. And then after I pray, I'm going to invite you to come and partake of the elements. And you're going to come back to your seat. And as they're singing, I want to invite you right where you are to think about the question, am I receptive to the words of Jesus? And I want you to do business with the Lord right where you are, whatever He's speaking to you. And then in that moment, as you pray and consider that question and you respond, I want you to partake of the elements. I want you to take the bread and take the juice to remember and receive his body, his blood shed, so that we not only could have forgiveness, but we could have life. Would you stand with me? Father, you are faithful. As I often pray in these corporate settings, I ask that you would work and move and speak beyond my limitations, beyond the ways that I have potentially brought distraction to the hearers today. I'm so thankful that it's not about me. And so even acknowledging that is going, man, I recognize my own feeble heart to go, you know what, Jesus, I think I've got this one today. I think I've got this week. Here's where my heart's at for you, because I've seen it so many times. I'm seeing it all over social media with the people that I've had the opportunity to minister to over the last 20 years. I'm seeing so many people who are quote unquote deconstructing their faith and walking away from Jesus. And I think it begins with the slow fade of, like, I could give you a lot of scenarios, right? Like the insignificance of gathering together on Sunday morning. And it goes from, I'll show up when I want to. I'll show up when it's convenient. And it'll go, I'm not praying often. I'm not really interested in the word any longer. I don't think I really need biblical community. And before we know it, that fade comes to a place where the beauty and the sufficiency and the power of the word lands on a place that has no receptivity. I just want to say to you this morning, if there's just a smidgen of, if there's just a smidgen of your heart that hears from the Spirit right now, there's that tug, you don't even know how to explain it. What I want to tell you is, don't resist that. Don't reject that. Don't keep rejecting that. The urgency of this story is that there's this moment, there's this moment, there's this moment. Jesus is speaking. What are you going to do with it? Father, we want to behold you by your Spirit. We want to accept what you have to say. We ask these things in Christ's name. Amen. You can begin to move and receive the elements.
Thank you for joining for this week's message. Summit Upstate's mission is to give every man, woman, and child the repeated opportunities to see, hear, and respond to the gospel. We'd love to connect with you, so we invite you to reach out to us at summitupstate.org.